Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Mattini, Katie Singing Eagle. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, listen to some of the coolest hosts on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now, on to the show. Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe with Iggy, Mark, and Katie. We are here live in Columbus, Ohio, broadcasting on the With Insights Radio Network and the Block Talk Radio distribution of networks. So we want to thank you for being here with us today. Hopefully our guest will call in at noon, Lisa Marie Jenkins, if she remembers, or I forgot to tell her. No, but I think I kept pretty good contact with her this time. If not, you know, we continue with the show like we always do. And the universe will take us in the right direction like always. And you know, just kind of go along. Go with the flow. Don't sweat it. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Today is a chilly 1 degree in Columbus, Ohio.
It is cold.
Yeah. So if you have one hair on your head, that place is probably the warmest place.
Oops.
Sorry.
I have one and only one.
And I said that on purpose.
I have many.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I got long hair. It's working for me right now. So how are you guys today?
I am doing wonderful. They called off my classes because as I had said on another show that I would be taking a month's break to attend some classes.
Yeah, you scared Mark.
They gave me some classes.
He's like, that's my seat.
They called off classes today. So I got to make it.
Good, we're glad you're here.
Saw your post. That's good.
And how about you? Lollipop Man just came out of the cold.
West Virginia Mountaineers,
hey,
baby.
Yeah, they won. They won.
Took it to the Jayhawks.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. They
last
knocked
second.
Out number 8.
So shout out to the Mountaineers.
Again, he's got his West Virginia
got
sweatshirt
my West Virginia
on.
Sweatshirt on.
He's all cold chilling over here. Mountain boy.
Yeah. If only we had the Deliverance theme queued up.
We can sing it.
Y'all ain't from around here, are ya?
Not today, at least. Then hopefully Maisie will call in later today and kind of give us a little Maisie thoughts, you know, so she can kind of share her inspiration and intuition with us. So if you're out there, Maisie, hope you can hear this. Hope you're feeling better. Last time you were going to call in, but you weren't feeling well, so we're here, live. All right, folks, I really want you guys to buckle down today and take some notes. Got some good information we want to share with you. But like we always do, we kind of start off with the astrology portion of our show on the cafe here. And the cafe is about just chilling, having a good time, having your lunch, and kicking back. And we'll take it away to Mark.
Okay. So I spent a good part of the morning working on my presentation for my class this Saturday. So I've talked about in the past about how there's energetic, we have like energetic bump-ups usually every 5 to 6 weeks where, you know, we tend to have a flurry of things going on. Right now there's a lot of Pisces energy, and from this Wednesday night at 6, very interesting. Actually, I was talking to Adriana last night about her show that's coming on Wednesday night. And actually, the moon is void, of course, every 2.5 days, sometimes for most of a day. Sometimes the average is probably a few hours or whatnot. We actually have the moon is void, of course, for 1 minute Tuesday night, right towards the end of her show from 6:47. It goes void, of course, and then 6:48 it goes into Pisces. So we have like a 24-hour period from this Wednesday night at 6:48 until Thursday night at 7:12, where we will have 6 planets in the sign of Pisces. So if you're looking to manifest or look needing to envision the future or what you want your reality to look like. That is a stellium is when you have three planets in a sign. We're going to have six planets in the sign of Pisces.
Perfect.
For
so perfect.
24 hours. Now, one of the biggest energetic boosts you can possibly notice is when something goes from Pisces into Aries. Because Pisces is very ethereal and dreamlike, and it's very much about the, you know, the veil is very thin, to use a cliche at those times. But then, like, Aries is... Going from Pisces to Aries is like going from 2 miles an hour to 102 miles an hour. So I want you to be aware that Thursday evening, there's going to be a massive energy bump up. There's been a lot of working in the background and Pisces intuitive foggy energy.
Mm-hmm.
So this Thursday night at 7:12 in the evening, Mars, which is one of the most aggressive outward going planets, goes from Pisces into Aries. There will be a massive bump up in energy. And then on Friday the 20th, Venus, which is at the late degrees of Pisces right now, it will go into Aries. So we have a lot of energy shifts coming up. It's gonna be interesting to navigate the second part of this week. There's gonna be a lot of spiritual energy on Wednesday and Thursday, and then, you know, a lot of intuitive, and then energy really boosts up. And at the same time that the sun goes from Aquarius, which is very kind of chaotic, into Pisces. So there's lots of shifting back and forth. I'll tell you, I've pointed out this time period for a while, but I'm going to put out a ridiculous length blog here shortly, but the time period from February 19th to March 20th, this is the, if you look at the whole year, if you look at the year as a whole, this is the highlight. This is the... There is so much energy shifting, and there's going to be so much happening in that month-long period. I'm covering nothing but that month.
Okay.
In my class this Saturday.
Well, thanks for telling me now.
Yeah, I'm going to be covering only that month, that February 19th to March 20th in my class this Saturday. I won't even get it all in 2 hours. There is so much. It is like every day, especially as we get into March, every day there is a shift. And we have the last of the seven Uranus-Pluto squares, and it's... I have lots and lots and lots of friends and family members and stuff that are Aries. You guys need to strap in.
Yes. Okay.
The Aries people are going to get hit with so much energy. So if you have a project you're working on or you're wanting to release, get moving on it, because you're gonna have just an indescribable amount of energy at your disposal. I can't even put it into words. I mean, the Aries people are gonna. You're gonna have some chaos in the next month, but you're gonna. Anything you want to put out there that you need to have some energy to, this is about as good as it's gonna get in this lifetime for you Aries people.
That's my son.
It is going to be a interesting ride for the next month.
Yeah. Well, I already started yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I had some people saying that...
They're freaking Rams, man.
Reading, huh?
They're freaking Rams.
Yep. Yep. I have Saturn in Aries. I resonate very much with that energy.
You're always pushing.
Yep. Yeah, so it's... Aries people, get your stuff in order. now while you have the chance, because things are going to move so quickly in that month leading up to when, then on March 20th, late in the day, the sun is going to go into Aries. But there's, you know, for like late February, or February 20th through March 11th, Venus, Mars, the South Node, and Uranus, all four of those are going to be in the sign of Aries. They're going to be conjunct much of that time, and they're all going to be opposing the North Node and squaring Pluto for a lot of that time. Aries people, get your stuff together now. There's got to be so much energy out there at your disposal. Get it together now.
You know, and I've never really been like a huge astrologer type person to like follow the, because that was never really something that attracted me, kind of like it does to you and your friends that you have. But I'm starting to see the patterns and stuff that you mentioned. I don't know all the terminology and I don't know all the understandings in and out, but I'm starting to like get what you're saying on certain things, because I start to see the things.
Right, because there's a lot of, and there's a lot of people that don't know astrology that are, you know, they're very intuitive. And that's what got me into it is, you know, I had noticed these, you know, energetic shifts and stuff. And I was, you know, why do things feel so different from one day to the next or 1 week to the next? And then when I found this whole language to it, that's what got me hooked. And then I started paying attention to, you know, what in the world's going on. You know, everybody was calm 5 minutes ago and now it's so that's what kind of sold me on it, is just I started paying attention to the trend and it just backed up. It was a language for stuff that I already knew and was feeling.
You're right, it is a language. It is a language because, you know, it's like completely unique to itself. Because I'll sit here when you're doing your shows sometime, like with on Fridays, and when you guys talk, it's so funny to watch. Oh, my left node fell off too. Oh, yeah, you know. And just things like that. I was like, but you guys know what you're talking about, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like you know what you're saying, and it's really cool how that just energetically flows. And so anybody who's in astrology will get exactly what you're getting. So it's perfect to go to your classes. It's perfect to go to learn and to understand the language. And I think we're going to be having a class with you at one of our friends' house.
Yeah. In fact, that was something else I was working on here that I was... At some point, well, yeah, we're all, our Within Sights crew here is going to get together and we're going to do a little astrology class. But I have a chart for my show, and I ran a chart for Gary's show, which is going to air on this Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I have a chart for Adriana's show, which is airing tomorrow night. And I went back through the archives this morning and found the date of at least the first show that's archived on Within Sights.
Oh, the one that we did here on Within Sights?
It was December 1st of 2008.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the first show?
Yeah, that's the first show.
Okay, so I ran a chart for Within Sights Radio.
So what's that say? I'm just curious.
It's a lot of intense energy. It's really good energy for a radio broadcast and stuff. And this shows that there's a lot of... there's a lot of power to this chart, and there's a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat. See, it's really blowing up in the next couple years.
Nice. That's good.
Just
enough.
So you guys think, you know, just intuitively, you kind of picked, I think, a good time, a good chart. Just, yeah, like the chart for Adriana's show is really good, too. And I've got a chart for Gary's show. And I've got all of our individual charts here, Katie's and David's and... Yours and mine, and
yeah, you've already done one for me though.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I was doing a comparison. I got Dawn's and
comparing all our personalities.
Right.
And stuff.
I did a little work up about how all of our charts connect and everything, which I think you guys will find very interesting. And then we can map the best times to, you know, do special things for the show and stuff, because we'll be able to see where the PowerPoints are for. You know, the different shows on the network and stuff like that. So there's...
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. I've done charts for like families before, like the parents and siblings and everything, and show how they all, everybody's chart connects at different levels, and see
why
how this
we all
person
like each
is
other or has come together.
Right, yeah, and it shows you where there's difference, you know, philosophical differences and things like that. So it's really, when you get below that top layer of astrology, there's really a lot of interesting stuff you can dig into there. So,
cool. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Lots of things.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's go do the little break and we'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Welcome back to Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe with Mark, Katie, and Iggy. We are here live in Columbus, Ohio, broadcasting, sharing our knowledge, sharing our wisdom, sharing whatever, you know, however we feel it's, you know, we need to share with you from the universe. I appreciate Mark's and his points on astrology and what he reads and how he interprets it and the things he shares with us. And actually the charts, I'm looking forward to look at those charts. That's one thing about astrology, there's a mathematical and there is a science behind it.
You know? Right. And that's what some people get, the metaphysical archetypal level of it. Some people do well with the math part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have problems with one or the other. Just kind of depends how you're wired, but there's a way to teach it to everybody.
Yeah.
And it was interesting what you said too about, I mean, it is. It's a language. Some astrologer recently had put up seen a really good quote. He said, like, people would ask him, you know, do you believe in astrology? And it's like, well, no. I mean, astrology exists, but it's a language. So the real question, it's not do you believe in astrology, it's do you speak astrology? Because, like, it's its own language.
Yeah, because astrology does exist.
Right, it does exist. Whether or not you agree with it, but it exists.
Right, the planets are doing what they're going to do. Everything goes into its pattern.
Right, right.
There's no, do you believe in it? You know,
right. It's like, you speak the language.
It's like saying, does the sun come up every day? Yeah, as far as I know.
Right, right.
Last time I checked, it did. You know,
right.
But do you believe in the sun? Do you worship the sun? Well, that's different.
Right.
You know, worshiping and believing are two different things.
Right, right.
You know, so. But yeah, but it's cool. But it's all energy, regardless. It's all
Absolutely.
It's all a divine cog in a big wheel that we can't see from our vantage point very well. You know, it's like a big clock. You know, when you open the clock and you look inside, there's little gears moving.
Yeah.
Sometimes the little gear that's just moving in one little space only knows it's space, but it knows it's part of this big gear, this other big magical thing. Because as soon as it turns, something else is clicking, something else is moving. That's why it's so important for all of us to understand that we're all connected. Through the heart, through the spirit, through the soul, through the mind, every which way. That's why we get disgusted when we see things on TV, you know, and people are hurting other people. That's why we get bothered by people's language, you know. That's why we get triggered, you know, by things. Because we're all interwoven, regardless
right.
if we want to be or not. You know, there's no, well, I'm black, I'm white, I'm Chinese, you're Hispanic. You know, there isn't.
Right. We're all existing on the same fear on the same, we're all on the same little blue marble, so work.
Yeah.
Even the person that you dislike the most on the planet, you're connected to.
Yes, and you probably even more.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
The person that you dislike probably the most is the person that triggers you the most and probably the biggest teacher you'll ever have in your entire life.
Right, they are your mirror.
They are your biggest mirror. Because the person who's gentle and kind is another aspect of you that you see and you enjoy and you like, but it's that one that really throws you off and gut wrenches you and makes you want to puke and just disembowel yourself. That's the person that really will teach you lessons about who you really
let you see yourself.
Who you really think that you think you are.
Right. That
you
kind of gets into the Jungian philosophy of the shadow self. And
like, why does that person bother me so much? They haven't even even if
memories.
It's a person that haven't even done anything to you.
Yeah.
It's just like they. But be nice. They just kind of get to your crawl, so
right.
to speak.
And, you know, and a lot of it has to do with trigger points in our memory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's things in our subconscious mind that reminds us of an incident that happened when we were a kid, an incident with our parents, or whatever, you know, anything like that. We have these situations, and like if anybody knows the ego parts of our body, you know, our parenting, critical, and our child, they're all there to protect us at some level. So when you see something you don't like, or somebody, you know, like you said, you see somebody just, you know, they just kind of rub you the wrong way. Well, it's our defense mechanisms too. We also have innate defense mechanisms in our body that, you know, click on and protect mm-hmm. us. You know, we see in color because if we didn't, we'd be eaten by every predator on the planet. You know, and then most predators see in black and white. So, you know, they the colors and the shadowings and all that happen. We have colors so we can distinguish where the predators are. You know, so we can find that black cat hiding amongst the, you know, the roughage over there. So it's really interesting. Really interesting. So, I'm getting ready to take our show into another avenue here. And I think it's close to a lot of people's heart, especially in our hearts as well. We always talk about improving our lives, becoming better, and doing the things that we truly love, and moving forward into, you know, a new existence of who we are. Many of us have been sold a blueprint that doesn't necessarily work for us anymore, or it doesn't really work for maybe a lot of people in general. You know, maybe they think they do, and we force this blueprint on people all the time. And this plan has actually changed. It's actually moved up now. It used to be called, excuse me, the 45-year plan. Now I think it's more like 50 to 55, or maybe even 60. That old plan is that you work hard, save your money, put in a bank, invest, and you do all the things that the right. banking systems wanted you to do, and all the people with all the money wanted you to do.
Right.
That old system has actually, I don't think it serves anybody anymore.
No. Absolutely not.
And, you know, and if you're doing it and you're making it, well, congratulations, you know, because it's a very, very few people can actually do that. And so I'm going to share my little things that I learned along the way, and please, I want you to share yours as well, because we all kind of have little plans and little things. I'm going to throw several things at you, and especially since we're already in business, it makes it even more enticing for those who want to learn about business. So there are different ways to get wherever you want to be, but you have to have the right blueprint. If you want to just have a job mentality, you know, just above broke, like they call it job,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You can make money having a job. I know people who save enough and they can do it. But that's an extreme case. But then you have people who are in business, and they have to have a serious plan of where they're going, a serious roadmap, 5 to 10 years, 15, 20 years. It's realistic to think that you have to go 15, 20 years to have an successful business. The Japanese believe that after 100 years, you're still in business, you have a successful business. So looking at all of us here at this table, none of us are going to make it to 100. But the philosophy of that is that you create a system that mm-hmm. works, and a system that empowers people. Okay, so I came up with three lists, but we'll start with the first one. Okay, the first one that I've been taught by many people who I've worked with and learned and gone to many seminars and many classes and things is, number one, you probably heard dream building, creating dreams, creating that unattainable, intangible thing that you can't have that you want to have. In order to have it, you have to actually touch it, feel it, taste it. We were talking about dream boards the other day, Mark. Remember mm-hmm. what you were talking about?
Yep.
When you can't have the car that you want, well, it doesn't cost you anything to dream about it. It doesn't cost you anything to go to the dealership and sit
pictures.
In it. Yeah. You know? It doesn't cost you go home by, you drive by every night and sit, you know, drive by the dealership and look at a car. Car's just one aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, if you want a swimming pool or battery for your car, you know, the dream can't be too small or too big. Everybody's dreams are different. But the dreams are the fuel that keeps you motivated, that keeps you going. And that's why we build dream boards. We were talking about the BAM factor, you know, to remind us to look at it every day. We go, oh, wow, I really need to do that, you know.
Or some people call them vision boards.
Yeah. Vision boards, you know, you build those, and that's something that your subconscious mind can over and over see. Now, in the scheme of all things, we already have that stuff. It's just the paths that we take to get to those places if we do achieve those.
Yeah, I want an Austin Martin. I do have one.
But you do have one.
It's the Hot Wheels.
That's an excellent point, Katie, because how you manifest is super important too. And,
yes.
And you know how you, because you say I want an Aston Martin. Well, you do have one.
Mm-hmm.
You do have one. You have one when you can click on the internet. You have one. Now you want the physical, tangible one that's yours. You drove. You paid for it. La la la. Well, then you're gonna have to figure out a plan to get there.
Yes, because I have gone and sat in one, and I drove it around the dealership.
They're nice. I have too.
And the guy knew that's what I, you know. He knew I couldn't afford it. He knew, you know, where I was at. He didn't even ask, would you like to look at, you know, he didn't even ask me those stupid questions.
Right.
I just said, I'd just like to sit and drive one and just see how it is. And he was cool with that. That and a Maserati out there at Dublin, Crown Cars. And he was just nice, sweet, let me do what I wanted to do for a little while, and then was pleasant, and then I'm like, I was satisfied and, you know, left. So sometimes you got to go there, do that, feel it.
But what happens is this is the biggest thing. This is, I call it beyond dream building, okay? Once you build you're starting to have these dreams and build, you know, the visions and have the goal, you know, they're not even goals, they're just dreams. They're things that you want, that you want to have in life. You want to enjoy the better things in life. Well, there are other people who don't believe that you can have them. There are other people who want to steal your dream, take it
mm-hmm.
away from you.
Yeah.
Because why should you be above me? Why should you be able to have that? I can't have that. You have to be careful how you associate, too. That's another part. That was another one of my things. And that's like A in the dream. A point, you know, you take it down. Or 1.5. Your associations.
Mm-hmm.
Who your associations are. Who are you associating with? Where were you last 5 years? Could you go back and actually reflect back 5 years ago and see who you were with, who you were hanging out with, what you were doing? Are you satisfied with what you did? Can you even improve? Can you get better? Then B would be, where do you want to be in the next 5 years? 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? Who do you want to be with? Who do you want to spend it with? What books are you reading? What MP3s are you listening to? You know, what information are you putting in your head? So these are very valuable, important things for people to self-analyze, to self, you know, check and see, you know, take an inventory of where you're at, where you've been. You have to know where you've been before you know where you're going. So once you know where you've been, you can change the direction, you can change the course a little bit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I want you guys to add anything. Anytime you want to add in, some just let me know. Just jump in, just raise your hand, whatever, so I don't, I can get on a tangent here.
Now, one thing is that some people want all the trappings and the big stuff. There might be people like me who aren't materialistic, who doesn't necessarily care for the trappings and all that. Just like I like Maseratis and Aston Martins, but I don't want one. I mean, in another universe, maybe I would want one, but right now here in this universe, or this time and place, I really don't want one. It'd be nice to, just like when I lived in New York, I hobnobbed with people of wealth, even though I wasn't wealthy. So I got to take on the benefits, have the benefits without being one of them.
Right.
And they were people who didn't care, who weren't snobbery or anything.
Right. Absolutely.
So know exactly what you want out of life. If you want to just be simple, you know, live a simple life like I do, then that's fine. But if you want to have a lot of stuff and be a millionaire, that's fine too. So whatever you want out of life is fine.
I believe life will give you exactly what you ask for and what you don't ask for. So you have to be careful what you're asking for and what you're not.
Be careful what you ask for.
So the biggest thing that I learned being in business is you can do it alone, but you can't, okay? That's one thing that you learn really quick in business, especially when you have the solo mentality, flying solo.
Mm-hmm.
There is no flying solo. When you help people gain and get where they need to be and help them grow, either through money or either through spirituality or whatever, it just makes it a better thing. So if you help other people get what they want, then you get what you want. But I don't mean that in a very arrogant way. I don't mean that in a very conniving way. I mean that in a loving way. You know, when you show the path, for example, the great sages of the world, they got exactly what they needed by helping other people get what they needed. Mm-hmm. You know, they gave their heart, they gave their love, they gave their spirit, they gave their soul. So that's just one example. But I'm talking about in this world that we live in where people are slave to their jobs, slave to a system that, you know, enslaves them. There is hope. And this country is one of those unique situations where you can actually go into business for yourself and succeed or not succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you have more chances of succeeding if you have the right team around you. You
yes.
have the right people around you, the right empowerment of people. So that takes me into number two, which is the vision. Okay, you can have the best ideas in the world and the best, you know, intentions, but if your vision isn't strong and you can't sell that or produce that or show that to the world, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard for people to understand that. That's why you have to be clear and concise. And number one, you have to be the leader. You have to be the one forging the ground. Even when someone else isn't coming with you, you got to keep going. Keep
mm-hmm.
moving with it. Visionary people have always been people who have kind of been in a roundabout way in the background. You know, there's a few that are in the front. Henry Ford, for example, you know, he was the guy who wanted a car with a V8 engine. Did he have any knowledge of the V8 engine? No, absolutely not. But he surrounded himself with some very intelligent people who didn't want to be in the front, you know, but, you know, they were in the back doing the research and the development. And they came to him time and time, and they would say to him, "This ain't going to work, man. We can do you V6, but we can't do an 8. But he was determined, and he wants an 8. I want an 8, a V8. Well, the rest is history. They have V12s now, too. So, you know what I'm saying? It's just a matter of, you know, figuring things out. The human aspect, the human, you know, condition is one of those things that's very unique to our species. You know, you don't see animals with factories and monkeys with factories. You don't see animals, you know, necessarily building a house just like we do. We have a very concise and very direct approach to how we do things, you know, because number one, we're prey.
Mm-hmm.
We're prey animals. You know, we were preyed upon by bigger animals. So we had to learn very quickly to adapt. We had to learn very quickly to become self-sufficient and protect ourselves from getting eaten by the lion, you know,
right.
You know, while we're walking through the pastures there. But we had to do that. We had to do that as a group. We couldn't do that alone. We had to go. I had to go to Katie. If we're going to go to the water hole, you know, we need Mark. And Mark, we need Adriana. We need Anthony. We all need to work together because two of us with spears can hold, you know, watch the guard while we're all drinking, then switch places. So we had to create a teamwork environment. That's why sports is such a big thing for a lot of people. And that's why congregations are big and places where people hang out and do things together because we're safe. We feel safer mm-hmm. when we're in a group. I feel safer when I'm in a big group.
Right.
Because I know I'm not going to be the first
safety
one picked off.
Safety in numbers.
Right.
But so do the animals. So do the caribou and the animals. They all go.
Oh, right.
They learn very quickly that, you know what, the ones that are sick, we're going to get pegged off first. So that's the only thing that's very similar to us in certainly animal kingdom. You know what I'm saying?
Right. If we're in the woods together and we're being chased by a bear, I don't have to run faster than the bear. I just have to run faster than you.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh, goodness.
Excuse my coughing, folks. That was pretty funny.
But you're right. Yeah, I mean, I've learned that you've got to be... the universe conspires in your favor when you're doing what you're supposed to do. So I just stumbled across a really good quote this morning, and I'm going to completely butcher it now. But it was by Rumi, and it was something like, act as if everything in the world was created for your benefit. Or it was something to that effect. I'm sure I just completely mangled it. But the spirit is there. It's like, you know, act like everything is in your favor and that everything is helping you learn something or benefit. And so, you know, too, like I've learned a lot about manifesting in the last year. It's like, mm-hmm. I've tried to tone it down, actually, because I was like manifesting so much and so quickly that it was like I wasn't thinking things completely out. And also I noticed I was limiting myself, too, because
mm-hmm.
like I would say things like, I want to be able to bring in this much money a month to cover my bills and everything, then it's like, why would I limit myself to, you know, you just look back at the conditioning and stuff of our society. It's like, my first thought was not to be a millionaire. It was to, not that I need to be a millionaire or anything, but it was kind of shocking when I looked at it. Like, my first thought was, I just want barely enough to survive. And it's like, what? Why would I?
No.
Why would I not want to manifest enough to live, you know, comfortably or as much as the universe wanted to give me? Why would my first thought be to, I just need enough to cover my bills or whatnot?
Yeah. But you know, it's funny when you said conspire in your favor. You have to know when that's happening.
Yes.
I think some people don't understand when that's occurring.
Yes.
Like, I'm waiting for the universe to conspire in my favor. But, you know,
yeah.
Sometimes it's like throwing
you
it right in your face.
Right. Something. Just like me, I did some paperwork today to help, you know, pay for my heating bill. So, but I had to go get the paperwork, make the appointment, go do the paperwork in the office, and get that done. It wasn't just going to do itself.
Right.
So sometimes we have to act on what we want.
Yeah.
So,
Somebody smarter than me, I think it was a basketball coach, somewhere said, you create your own luck.
I say that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really believe that. I believe that things that just happen randomly. I think it's by hard work and preparation you get to this point. Let's take a break, and then we'll bring Lisa Marie on.
Okay.
She's here.
Awesome.
She's waiting for us, so we'll be right back, folks.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders. We are back with Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe. I'm E. Garcia, Mark Matheny, Katie Singing Eagle. We are here live. We're about to introduce our guest here, who's going to be sharing with us her thoughts about the work she does. And Mark is going to introduce her.
Okay, we're going to bring on Lisa Marie Jenkins, author of the awesome book, Wake Up Beauty, It's Not About the Prince. And she has given lots of award-winning presentations for Fortune 500 companies. And most importantly, I think, a couple years ago, she decided to step out of corporate America and allow the universe to conspire in her favor.
All right.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. And just
yeah,
to
absolutely.
Tag on what you were saying earlier, yeah, when you are in alignment with what you're meant to do in the universe, really just keeps bringing it to you. There's no doubt. It's the flow and the abundance keeps coming in, and every signpost says, yes, keep going this way. So that's been an amazing journey for me the last 2 years going out on my own, trusting that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you had a I actually listened to a little podcast that you had on your website that you had done. It was how to find the courage to quit your job.
Yeah, and start your own biz, right?
Yes,
right.
Yes. That was awesome. There's a lot of good things in there, because I kind of... How long did it take you to work up that initiative and that the courage to kind of step out of, you know, what is considered safe and, you know, the mainstream kind of... Like you mentioned, you know, you have that nice check and stuff coming in. It's hard to step out of that box.
Yeah.
How did you get the courage up to do that?
I don't know that it's about feeling safe. I think it's about trusting that you will be safe. Right? There's a big difference there, because there have been times I felt like I jumped off a cliff, and every time I've wanted to sort of give up, something amazing happens, or somebody gives me some amazing validation or feedback that I've helped, or something really big gets set in my path to take me to another level. So it is about courage, though. It really is about courage. It's about getting out of your norm, because it's so counterintuitive as human beings to get out of our comfort zone. Even when our comfort zone isn't serving us, even when we don't like what we're experiencing, it's what we know, and we tend to stay there until it becomes painful enough. For me, so to answer your question, it really started for me back in 2005, the first time I got laid off from Cisco. And the funny thing about it is the dates, my last date to take another role or accept a package was April 22nd, 2005. And I was going to open a yoga studio at that point and got pretty far down the road and had my business plan, my marketing plan, had my 200-hour yoga teaching certification. And every single time I went to rent space to actually build the studio out, the most bizarre things would happen and it would fall through. Unexplainable things, really. And I got frustrated, and I said, okay, this isn't flowing. I got to take a look. So I backed up, and it turned out a few months later, it revealed to me why it wasn't the right thing for me and it wasn't the right direction. And I ended going back into the corporate world. So to answer your question, I've been thinking about going on my own since 2005, but I don't think I was quite ready. I don't think I had evolved and healed enough of my stuff to be able to do it successfully. And then back in 2013, I got the exact same package again from Cisco, and my end date was April 22nd. So I always look at those little signs, those little synchronicities, and at this point I had started to lay some foundational things. I had started my book. I had gotten my website done. I had signed up for an 8-month coaching certification course with Martha Beck, and so I was really moving this time, and this time I was really clear that my work was with women mostly. Not that I don't work with men, but that my real work was really helping women come into their own power and to really learn that their voice, their message, their mission was in them. So I was really focused on the woman that was successful by most standards of society, but that she was yearning for something more. She knew that something was missing. There was sort of a void in her or a lack of passion, if you will. So that just, as I stepped into that, it just started snowballing one thing after another kept leading me. It's kind of like following the yellow brick road, is what I call it.
Right.
Because when you are in alignment with your purpose, and that came into me really clearly, it hit me like a brick over my head. It hit me just like, whew, like just centered in me, and it brought up a wealth of emotion, like happy emotion, like, oh, wow, this is why I'm here. This is why I've been really groomed and working in corporate America for over 20 years, and so that I can really help women and bridge women from the more functional world into the more mindfulness and the spiritual world.
Hey, Lisa, I have a question for you. This is Iggy. When you were on this path, when you got hit by that brick, like you're saying, did you ever feel like you were overwhelmed too, where you had too much like coming in at the same time, where you're like, well, which direction? I know you had a focused direction, but did you ever feel like you had too much coming in at one time?
No.
Okay.
I didn't really ever feel that. I felt, I think that my biggest struggle was the initial decision of to do it or not do it because of the fear that came in with, the nice, you know, even with the funny thing about that is there's no security in corporate either, right? You never know when you're going to get laid off or something's going to change or shift. It's sort of a false security. But there's something about when you get conditioned in a corporate environment and that nice big paycheck just hits your account every 2 weeks and you're not the one actually behind making that money come in. And so that was a big thing. And it wasn't letting go. There was a lot of letting go of ego in that for me too, because there's a certain identity and status tied to what I was doing and who I was in that high-tech Fortune 500 world. And I had to go through a transformation of that doesn't define me, and that's not my worth, and that's not my validation anymore. And it sounds kind of petty, but it was actually, that was probably the hardest part to transition from, to let go of that, let go of my status, so to speak, and launch into being a nobody in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. But
right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so, I never felt overwhelmed. I kept feeling... every time, what was interesting is every time I doubted a little bit, I would have an amazing thing just present itself. And I'll give you an example. And I don't think that often people are present enough, are tuned in enough to recognize these signposts, as I call them, or signs from God, signs from the universe. And it's like the Rumi quote you're trying to remember. It's act as if the universe is rigged in your favor. And
yes.
That's what I started seeing. So I went, when I was in the midst of all this, it was probably February of 2013, and I was like, should I leave? Should I stay? Should I do this? I had started writing my book. I hadn't gotten really serious about it. And I went to this Titanic exhibit in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. And when you get there, they give you somebody's passage card, their ticket that was on board the Titanic. And it will tell you where they're first class, second class, third class. And then it'll tell you as much as they knew about that person and their destiny. And then at the very end, you find out if you lived or died, right? So you take on person's persona. And as you go through the ship, people talk to you, like people are in costume that are working on the ship, the captain, the stewards, et cetera. And they tell you more about that person if they know more about them. Well, I got this woman's card, and her name was Mrs. Edward Candy. And she was a widower, and she was American, and she had been over in Europe doing research for her second book. And her son had been in an accident in Washington, D.C., so she came back to help care for her son. Well, as I'm researching, and they're telling me more about her, her first book, and this is back in 1912. Think about this. Women's suffrage didn't even happen to 1920. This woman's first book was titled How to Make a Living Without a Man. Of all the people that were on the Titanic, I get her card, right? See, I see that as a signpost. Some people would say, that's just a coincidence. But we know there's no coincidence. But those are the little things that I kept getting that said, go, keep moving. Just, you don't have to know the how, you just have to know the what. And every time you take a step, something will be revealed to you. And that's kind of what's happened to me that's really exciting is, that you are, when you are in alignment with your purpose, you don't have to have it all planned out, but you if you take action, any action, the next step reveals itself to you, and that's about the trust, right? That's about the real faith that we all need to cultivate every single day in all aspects of our life.
Yeah, I like that story. That's pretty awesome. Now, where was that again?
St. Petersburg, Florida.
That's pretty amazing.
It was at a museum.
I mean, what are the chances of that? You know, I mean, like, that's like right in your face.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And here you are, and now you have this book that, you know, I mean, it kind of has similar, you know, verbs, I guess, in the sense of the title, you know. It's said differently.
Yeah, similar, right. So the book came, my original title for the book was The Path of a Feminine Warrior. Because if I really had to come up with a true title, which it just doesn't have any pizzazz to it, but my real title would be I'm So Okay Without a Man, because that was really my journey was realizing that I was whole and complete. That it's really, and I started realizing so many women, even though they're not even conscious of it, even today when we can make our own living and be powerful in business and do all kinds of things as women, and in the Western culture, we are equals. But, you know, we are empowered, and whether we step into that, but we still carry some really unconscious, outdated DNA about that we're not whole or beliefs or conditioning, whatever, that somehow we're not okay with a man. And for me, the book was kind of a 15-year journey when I really launched in and realized I had these huge abandonment issues with men because my father died when I was very young, and then my mother was emotionally not available for a really long time after that. And I didn't even realize I had abandonment issues until I was about 34 years old, and suddenly, you know, everything started coming to the surface. And the real gift of the book for me was it took me 15 years of that initial wake up at 34 to fully heal that suffering for me and that misbelief that I was not okay without a man or not okay without a partner or wasn't as good as everybody else if I didn't have a spouse or a boyfriend or whatever. And it started in more of a traditional therapeutic, you know, therapy, psychotherapy, and then it evolved into yoga and then a lot of spiritual teachers along the way that helped me. And I thought, you know what, if I can help one woman navigate this journey more quickly than my 15 years by sharing my greatest aha moments, then that's my gift to the world. And then I also wanted it to be a bridge of somebody that's just starting to enter spirituality. I wanted to plant some seeds. I wanted to open some doors there to take them from you know, the more physical world into the depths of who they are and that they're perfect and whole within, and then how to really harness that and live that outward and share your, because I think every single soul on the planet has a unique gift, a unique message that they're meant to share with the world that somehow heals or transforms the world.
I'm saying that.
So that's where the book came from.
Yeah, awesome. Amazing.
I'm glad you said that. That's what we feel here with Insights. Everybody has insights to share with the world. So.
Oh, perfect. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's as unique as our thumbprints, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. I wish you were here to tell that one thing to my family and stuff, like, you're okay without a man, because I got that for years. I'm 51. I've never married.
Me too.
Nor
I'm 51.
Do I have children. And people are always trying to fix me up. Or
I know,
saying,
right?
Oh, need a husband, have some children, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, I can't physically have children. Well, adopt some children or foster some children or do this or do that. I wanted to just say, leave me alone. I'm okay.
Of course.
And then lately I've had someone tell me that I needed a husband. I needed a husband to tame me because I was too out there and too wild and I knew too much for my own good. And I'm like, I need a husband to tame me? That's the wrong reason.
That's exactly what we're breaking away from, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and so guys, bear with me because I want to expand on that a little bit, because I actually think, you know, we carry things through our lineage, through cellular memory, and if you believe in multiple life, you know, times and so forth, if you think about the centuries of women and how women for thousands and thousands of years and still in many other parts of the world, it is not safe as a woman to speak your truth. It is not safe for a woman to defend herself. I mean, even here in the U.S., women were burned at the stake. There's enslavement, there's sex trafficking, there's in other parts, Muslim cultures where they're still mutilating the clit. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff, right? And if you think about a woman, even though right here in the U.S., we've had the right to vote for almost 100 years, but we still sometimes carry that kind of in a cellular memory that. And so I think it's for a lot of women, it's been hard to really find their voice, to really, because there's a fear that comes up when we think about really speaking our truth, because it's something that as a collective consciousness has happened, which goes back to the same thing as you're not okay or you're not good enough without a man. And that's still, we carry that so heavy. I mean, I did a book signing at a local Barnes & Noble over the weekend on Valentine's Day, and I had three girlfriends, show up at the Barnes & Noble signing, and I was signing a book for somebody, and they were standing behind me chit-chatting, and the one woman had gotten engaged over Christmas holidays, and she has a 3.5-carat diamond on her hand. Well, the other two women hadn't seen it yet, so these women are just oohing and aahing. You know the hens, right? They're just like, oh, my God,
right.
It's beautiful. Oh, that's so exciting. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations, blah, 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 right? And I turn around and I look at them and go, you guys know that you are being the antithesis to my book right now. Like, because I get more reaction out of my girlfriends when I have a date than when I told them I was going to launch my own gig and I was going to write a book. They are more excited about me having a date and the possibility that I might find my holy grail than they were about me having the courage and saying, I'm gonna be a speaker, author, coach, and it's all gonna be around empowering women. And so even collectively, we're still told somehow on through the media and through our friends that, yeah, this is what's gonna make you okay. You're finally gonna find your savior and be happy when you have somebody by your side.
And not that we don't want
romantic love. Now that we all, I mean, that's what we all want. We all, we're human. We all want love. Mm-hmm. That's why we're here, is to love. But it's the idea of switching a partner is a preference, not a need. A partner can never complete you. A partner can just be your sprinkles on top in life, right? They can enhance your life. They can bring more love to your life. But they're not.
Yes.
And I like to think of it as a cupcake, right? Like if you look at a cupcake, it's a beautiful cupcake. It's iced. It's yummy. It's whole. It's complete. You can totally enjoy a cupcake. And if somebody throws little sprinkles on top, yeah, even better, even a little more festive. That's all your partner is your sprinkles on top.
A sprinkle.
I guess I'm somebody.
Right. I think a lot of people fall into that, you know, that trap of looking for someone, you know, I'll hang on long enough until I find someone to complete me, or, but I mean, just the phrase trying to find your better half. I mean, just think of the
exactly
the
right. And where did we ever
phrase?
Yeah, you're not and it's whole without someone else besides
that's
exactly
less than whole because it's your better half you're looking for.
Well, you're already loved to begin with, so
I want to take it a step further and say, you know what? Two wholes don't make a half when it comes to relationships. Romantic relationship. Two halves never make a whole. What we create is dysfunction and entanglement, right? Two wholes come together.
Yeah.
They gently come together and coexist together in a really nice, you know, lovely way. And that's, we have that backwards. And it's still, and it's just amazing that it's 2015 and we're still so focused on, everyone's always trying to find me a mate. Yeah.
Well, I think what happens is people, you know, want to be in a relationship, not in a partnership. You know, partnership, you have to be able to flow with somebody, move in the ups and the downs.
Yeah.
And in relationships, you could be at both two different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
You could be completely, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many people
like
want relationship? Go ahead.
I want a relationship. I don't want, I want a whole, the whole package.
Yes.
I don't want the, you know.
You want true partnership.
Right.
Yeah. Because I know a lot of guys who've asked me to be their friend with benefits and different things like that, but no.
Well, so guys, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Let me ask the guys this. So when you think about when a woman comes into that place where she's not looking for a man to complete her, she's not going into relationship out of need. And so the whole premise of my book, The Wake Up Beauty, It's Not About the Prince, is that someone that I was working with years ago, she looked at me one day and she says, honey, she said, don't you know the biggest, fattest lie we've ever been fed as girls and as women is that when Sleeping Beauty was kissed by the prince, she did not wake up. She did not wake up at all. She went to sleep on herself and her own passion, purpose, and worth because she believed romantic love was going to provide that to her. So, guys, don't you think when a woman relieves you from that responsibility that you're somehow supposed to complete me or provide my passion and purpose and worth in life, doesn't that free you up to really, I don't know, I would think that would take a huge weight off your shoulder and then allow you to be in the relationship in a different way as well.
Totally agree. Yeah, because that's a lot of I mean, if you're supposed to be somebody's
Prince Charming
or
exactly.
Savior or whatnot. I mean, I'm certainly nobody's savior or anything.
Yeah.
But it is. It removes a lot of pressure, and it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm took me a lot of long, brutally painful lessons to figure this out. But it's, a relationship should be, you know, I want to be one of two separate entities that have their own independence and their own energies and stuff, but we come together and support each other and stuff, but not codependent and needing to, in a way you merge as one, but you need to keep your separate identity because then it, and two really bright lights are bigger than one bright light.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And then you
it's
help
more
each other
light.
Soar and do your work in the world, your real work in the world, right? Your own ministry in the world. And that's been my biggest aha through all this. And I will be honest with you guys. I don't think I really realized this till the last year because when I get in a relationship, I often go to sleep on myself in the sense of I forget that my primary relationship is always with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy for a woman to transfer that when they're in love with a man or they're romantically involved with a man. It's so easy for a woman to, and guys too, I'm sure, but it's so easy for me to transfer that over to them and make them my demigod. And I stop, you know, my devotion to my primary relationship. And that's where I think we get stuck and we get entangled. And that's I think, that was the biggest thing I could teach to women and men. It would be that, right? That your primary relationship is never going to be with another human being. Yes, you support each other, and you said that beautifully, right? We support each other in our own personal spiritual growth and what we're meant to do in the world, and as together we create a brighter light and help do that. So then the relationships, the foundation is based in spirit or the universe or God or whatever word works for you.
Yeah, and, you know, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, what I find is that a lot of people fall into lust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have lust. They have a moment of lust. And lust can last 50 years. Right. I kid you not.
I've worked.
You mean
with
if you're doing it long distance?
Well,
if you're in a long distance.
Well, it's just, you know, we associate emotions and feelings onto people and how we experience ourselves through them. So people
sure.
teach us how to treat them. So that's basically what we're learning. That's why the lustful moment is. We're blinded by lust. You've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're excited. You know, you're in love. You're kissing. You're hugging. And then all of a sudden, someone farts. You know. And then you're like, what was that? You know, what was that?
Oh, you're
oh,
not so
past gas. You know? Oh, you're supposed to be perfect. You're supposed to be this. But, you know, it's just, it's our memory. It's our upbringing. It's the things that we associate. You know, you bring in two different people into
mm-hmm.
completely two different situations to meet and merge and share in a partnership. And then all of a sudden, you've got to learn how to be with someone else
mm-hmm.
through, you know, and you experience this person through your value system. You know, that you've created, that you create along the way as a child, you know, as through your parents and everything. So there's a lot, that's why a lot of people go frustrated because they don't understand. What is wrong? Why am I like this? It's because
we all have different perceptions, right?
Yes.
And so isn't that the whole work? And that's where I believe the romantic relationship is really can be the holy relationship, because you utilize a romantic relationship as to shift that perception from, you know, human physical form into the truth, right, to a higher place. And Marianne Williamson does such a beautiful job in her books of really talking about this and expressing this. And so if two people can come together knowing that our role together is to help and support each other in becoming whole and enlightened, and that's the real foundation of the relationship, because there is nothing like the romantic relationship to show us our stuff. Right, to show us the places
right.
within us
yes.
that aren't so pretty, that aren't so lovable, that aren't so kind. Right,
good old
so,
shadow.
So the romantic relationship mirrors that to us, and that's when people, instead of going, "Ooh, ow, thank you for showing that to me, I'm going to work on that," instead,
mm-hmm.
what most people do is they point and blame, and you're this, and you're this, and it's your fault, and then we've got a river of divide and resentment between two people because nobody saw the relationship as a vehicle to mirror their stuff so that they could become more awake, more enlightened.
Hey, Lisa, I have a question for you. I'm not sure if anyone has ever asked you this, but, you know, on our show, we try to talk about, you know, self-love and self-healing and understanding who we are first before we can move forward into relationships. So how would you describe it to somebody and you tell them, hey, you have to love yourself? And, you know, it's difficult for people to love themselves and understand what that even means.
Oh, wow, that's a big one. Well, let's start with the premise that all relationships, and especially the romantic, no matter how short, are meant. Everything is serves as a way to awaken more or to go deeper within. Whether you take advantage of that opportunity or not and you see the gift, because even the most dysfunctional, painful relationships, and usually they're the ones that offer the greatest gift to our own self-love, right? Because they're all there just to offer an experience so that we can awaken to that we already are love, right? It's not like we have to seek or find it. It's taking the veil off, right? And everything we want to experience is already there, but you got to get silent, you got to get quiet, you got to tune in, you got to remove the veil, you got to shift perceptions. You got to ask for help, you know. One of my favorite prayers by Marianne Williamson is, I'm willing to see this differently, but I can't do it alone. I need a hand up. And you ask God, you ask angels, say, help me shift my perception. And that's the miracle, right? And so for people that are just trying to understand that is, I don't know. I think it's, do you think that people are capable of really starting to look at that until they've experienced enough pain or suffering that they say, I'm willing to do this differently?
Well,
because unfortunately, we're in a place of pain's our greatest teacher still.
Well, pain is great. We just had that conversation in the beginning of the show. We were just talking that you'll learn much more from being in the shadow side than being taken into that place where, you know, we learn things from love too.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll always learn. See, what I think in my belief system is we learn from those experiences because then we store them in our little filing cabinets in our head. And, you know, as warning signs, you know, okay, well, I'm not going to let that happen again, you know. Then we start to put up walls and blocks and stuff. So our greatest pain is also our best teacher. And the people who trigger us the most are our best teachers because they take us to places that we don't want to go and things we don't want to hear. Now, do we want to own that? Do we want to keep that? That's up to us. And that's the hard part for people.
Yes, it's really hard. And so something kind of just came to me as you were talking back to your original question. For me, I think it's beginning to help people understand that the outside always reflects the inside. And what I learned in my three most dysfunctional relationships from 34 to after I got divorced, right? From they were all whirlwinds. They were all highly dysfunctional. The highest highs, the lowest lows. They all brought me to my knees. So from 34 until my mid-40s. And what I finally got out of that is the painful part of those relationships for me was that they were not emotionally available. And they weren't emotionally available on any consistent basis whatsoever. And what I finally realized is what they were mirroring to me is that I was not emotionally present and available to myself. And they were just showing me how I wasn't there for me. So when somebody's not really there for you in that kind of, it's because they're trying to show you unconsciously,
yeah.
right? If you believe in soul contracts, they're showing you that I'm just mirroring to you that you're not there for you. Because if I was really emotionally available to myself back then and really present to myself, I would have gotten rid of them way before 3 years. Right? I would have been like,
right.
oh, no, he's not for me. He's not really available.
Your best teachers.
And so we... Yeah.
yeah.
So I think the answer is when to somebody that really doesn't understand that is just introducing the idea that the outside is just a reflect. Anything that's going on in your world at any level, and it doesn't even have to be around relationships. It can be money. It can be all of the things that you know we really strive for in life. It's a reflection of something that's going on the inside. And for me, my path home was through the romantic relationship. Like other people really struggle with more scarcity and fear around money issues. That just didn't happen to be mine, but I see people struggle with that. For me, I've never had a scarcity model. I've always had a lot of, I've had abundant thinking. I don't know where I learned that, but it just came very natural to me, and I've never had fear around money or lack of money, and I've never struggled. It just has always flowed to me really easily. And so I don't, it came out full force in the romantic relationship for me. And then so I see people struggle with the opposite. I have friends that have really lovely relationships with their husbands, but they struggle with money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all abundance, right? Money is just a form of energy. It's just another form
yes.
of love.
Right. Yeah. One of the things that I had to come to a realization to a few years ago, sometimes it's like when you were talking about soul contracts there a minute ago. Sometimes I think that on the soul or spiritual level, sometimes it's the people that hurt us the most that are really showing us the most love because they're teaching us the biggest lessons, whereas on the 3D level it might be really painful, but those people
yeah.
kind of signed up to help us. Because I've kind of found that everybody to awaken...
And you for them, right? And it goes...
Right.
It goes both ways.
Right.
Yes.
But like, I seem like everybody kind of needs, like we're talking about pain being the biggest teacher, like everybody I talk to kind of has that big pain, the big trauma that was kind of the precursor to them kind of waking up and kind of seeing more the big picture of what reality is and the different energetic levels that we're operating on.
Make it go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because, right, when we reach a point where I'm so tired of being sick and tired, I'm so tired of feeling,
right.
All right, God, I'll do anything. I just don't want to feel this way anymore. I don't want to experience this anymore. Enough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to get that. And so sometimes the most blessed people with that are people that experience the most horrific childhood because they're so driven for something. It's impossible for them to live on the shallows of life. Because of their deep woundedness, so they're really driven to awaken and to become enlightened. Whereas somebody that's been given a life of, you know, it's just been, they had a decent upbringing, they had relatively healthy parents, they have abundance, they're intelligent, they were born in the right neighborhoods, whatever, right? It's what drives them to really awaken and become more aware because they live on the shallows of life. Now, they lack satisfaction because you can't live on the shallow outskirts of life and not be missing really deep satisfaction, but it's an easy place to stay. So sometimes
mm-hmm.
I think the most blessed people are those that have experienced horrific things in their life, right?
Right.
I guess I'm truly blessed. I've struggled and worked for everything. So, and wow. And but I do feel blessed, though, I do.
But sometimes that struggle mentality can be kind of an unconscious thought pattern belief system that's intertwined in our consciousness, and we don't even know it because it's been with us so long, you know, that we think we always have to struggle to get there. We always have to work really hard to get there, but...
then our ego parts kick in. I have to protect
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Right. You can't go there because if you do, don't cross the street, it's lights green.
I'd like a
I don't
nice
know, guys,
therapy
when do we get to the place
to manifest.
Where do we at? when do we get to the place to where? I didn't hear what you said, sorry.
Will you cruise to manifest?
Yes, I need a cruise to manifest. A nice week long.
There's certainly people out there doing that. I mean,
in the sun.
We have a lot of, you know, we have a lot of enlightened masters living on the planet today that are pretty amazing, that live in joy. And that was kind of my question. When do we evolve enough as a species that we learn from love and joy and not through pain?
When do we? That's
yeah.
Particular. When do we? There's no money in it.
Well, we kind of live in joy and...
Well, I know. I'm just saying.
We,
I'm being facetious.
You know, I'm happy.
Funny.
I'm happier now with hardly, I don't want to say nothing, but I'm happier now than I have been at any other point in my life.
Yeah, and for Mark and I, we both kind of did the same thing. We just kind of totally walked away from... I walked away from a restaurant business. He walked away from a corporate job. We're just kind of like...
Yeah. I could not... And that's why I like the most about your message, Lisa, really, throughout your books and stuff that I've seen is, you know, stop waiting for someone to save you. Ignite your passion. I mean, it's... I just slowly started seeing, and then, you know, quickly started seeing that, like... I was going to be on my deathbed, and I will have lived my entire life making other people rich, or, you know, at some point I just had to, like, I have to start putting some effort in my life into me and into what my dreams are and stuff. I wasn't, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging, because I'm not, I did not want to be on my deathbed and say, man, I wish I'd have done that. I wish I'd have tried that. I wish I'd have given that one good effort. Yeah. And then I just walked out one day.
That's huge. Like, I remember hearing a similar quote from Steve Bezos, a guy that started Amazon.com. And he was a Wall Street guy. I mean, he was in a very comfortable living, and he was a huge, this was when the internet was really just taking off, and he was a huge lover of technology, and he was an avid reader. And he went out and he started Amazon in his garage with his wife. And he said that everything that he does in life, when that he has an ambition or an idea or a passion, he asks himself, if I'm 80 years old and I look back on my life, will I regret not trying? Win or lose, win or fail, will I regret when I look back that I didn't give it a shot? And I think that's probably the best teacher we can be to ourselves, is to project into being somebody older and looking back at who you are. What would an older me say to me about what I'm struggling with right now? And I don't know, I use that a lot whenever I'm coaching other women or I'm even supporting myself emotionally, is when I feel fear about stepping out and taking a chance and doing something that I feel passionate about and that brings joy and happiness to me or excitement, when that fear comes up, if I don't do it, if I don't try, am I going to regret that down the road? And I think we need to all ask ourselves that more, because it's easy to stay in that little fear box. But look at just the conversation. I don't even know you, right, besides today on this phone. And look at the depth of conversation that we're having and the connection that we're having. And think of, like, if you had left a corporate job, think of all the years you spent in that corporate job. Did you have conversations of this magnitude or depth or passion with anybody in that kind of world?
No,
yeah, exactly.
Rare.
Yeah, that's what we got to start. You know, it's people like us that have to start keep spreading that, infiltrating that throughout the norms of society. That
it's funny,
happen in passion.
Yeah, what you said too. You know, either There's my guys who I like to follow is Darren Harding from Success Magazine. Well, he one of his mentors said a similar thing. He said that he had all this real estate. This guy had acquired all this real estate. And, you know, he's laying there and goes, you know what? He goes, I regret one thing. I have all this real estate, but I have no friends.
Wow.
You know, and nothing to stories to share with. So he spent his whole life amassing all this wealth, and then he had nothing to.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, so it goes the other way, too, you know.
Sure. Sure.
We have a wealth of friends.
We do.
Friends and stuff. We
have a new friend.
Yes.
Yes. Right. Yeah, I mean, just a similar thread that I see in a lot of your material is just it's getting rid of victimization, which I think is the real cancer. And that not to throw this on a completely conspiratorial thread, but I mean, you know, you look at that's how governments and mainstream religions and stuff keep people inside of the box. Mm-hmm. And then, the other message you get is, you know, you always have to go through someone that, you know, that the government's got to bail you out, or you got to go talk to a clergyman to talk to God. There's always some middleman that they're trying to sell you that you have to go. You can't really. Well, you could talk to God, but you should really have this other guy talk to God for you. Or you can make a bunch of money, but it's easier if you make money for this company and hope that they get big. And there's always the message is always the same: is you need to go through some go between, right? Exactly. And oh, don't step
remember in the movie
box.
The Matrix? I love this part. Remember in the movie in the Matrix when the Mr. Smith guys at one point, and I forget the names. The main guy,
Morpheus.
They had him captured, and they were doing mind control, trying to get information out of him. But he was the guy. Mr. Smith was talking about the first time they tried to implement a program for the humans. In the Matrix, they made everything lovely and nice and beautiful, and the human beings rejected it because they found that they had to put pain and suffering there for people to succumb to the program, which is interesting. So it's like what you're talking about, right? Like we have to invoke fear so that we can put control over you. And yeah, that's what's – I'm a big – we could go down a whole nother – rat hole with that, because I'm a big Thrive Movement. I follow David Icke. I follow Thrive Movement. I love all that stuff.
Me too. You may not know this, Lisa. I have to tell you this this is sweaty. But yeah, I have a show on this network on Fridays called Mark the Rabbit Hole. So that's really funny.
Awesome.
Takes you down that hole.
Yeah, I'm a big David Icke follower too.
Yeah. I try not to get caught too much up in that because I have to go back to, you know, you can get back into a battle. You can get into a right-wrong thing with that even. And, you know, it's about rising. It's still about transcending above that. And that, but I heard Marianne Williamson say something interesting about all of that. And she was talking about how we need to be the most concerned about societies and countries that are full of desperate impoverished people, because those desperate impoverished people that lack hope, they are so vulnerable for an evil force like a Hitler, right, to come in and create a vortex of evil, because they're willing to grab onto any string of hope at this point that they believe may uplift them or change their lives, and that we don't put enough emphasis on why we need to be so concerned with those cultures that are impoverished, because that's exactly what happened to Germany, why Hitler was able to go in and create that vortex of evil from that country, because after World War One, they were just beaten down and so impoverished and so lacked hope. So it was really easy for him to get a hold of those people and wrap them around his thinking and invoke hope. But I think it always so the answer always comes back to, you know, love versus fear, and why aren't we sharing more love to those cultures and those people so that we make it impossible for those forces of evil, if you will, to take hold in that desperateness. But that's kind of a sidetrack, but it brings me back to all the Thrive Movement and the David Icke stuff. And, that's a whole Matrix thing right there, right?
Yeah. Right. Where would you like to leave us with? What would you like our listeners with?
My book and my teachings are really just an invite to go inward, because we get you mentioned before the victimization, right? You can be a victim or you can be a victor, and it's all a choice. So do you want to go into victim mentality, which always is full of pain and suffering, or you go into victor and rise above it? And that the only way out of suffering is in. And I think that's what I'd like to leave people with, is the only way out is in. You have to go inward. The answer is never outside of you or through somebody else or through something else. And that's what, in our society, especially Western culture, and it goes back to the victimhood, we're such a blame culture, and we're so willing to make our problems or what we're experiencing something outside of us or from another person or another system or our company or whatever it is. But so the only way out of any form of pain or suffering or deliverance to your happiness and your joy and your peace of mind, your peace of heart, is inward. So I'd like to just leave it with an invite that go inward. Take up a meditation practice. Start really exploring the brand that you represent on the outside is always the brand that you're carrying on the inside and what you believe and feel about yourself.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that reminds of another a good movie analogy or book analogy or whatever. Was it Snow White where the witch would talk to them, you know, mirror on the wall, who's the...
Paris.
And in a way, there's a good message in that. It's like, you know, we need to talk to our mirror. We need to understand and make peace with our mirror to see in that fault, I think, goes along with the only way out is in, you know. You need to talk to your mirror to find where the cracks are and to heal those. Because then when you have those holes in your aura, you know, that's where other things – maybe not so friendly can come in and fill those spots if you don't know how to fill those spots. I see that a lot when people are waking up. They kind of go through these things and they're, you know, they kind of release some of this trauma, but other stuff comes in and fills those holes in their aura, but it may not be good stuff. It's
well, you got to stay grounded too. And that's part of the process. I think it's becoming aware. I mean, most people don't even know they have a soundtrack going on in their head. And most of us will speak to ourselves in our own head in a way that we would never, we say things to ourselves that we would never even say to somebody we didn't like. and that's the beginning of self-love. That's where you start tuning into self-love. Am I my own best friend? Do I talk to myself and treat myself and honor myself the way that I would honor my best friend? Because you are your best friend, right? You're the one constant that's going to be with you your entire life from birth to death. So why not adore and love and befriend that person to the greatest degree, right? So that's where self-love starts, is how do you talk to yourself? What do you say?
Yeah, I'm looking
to
behind my shoulder. I don't see myself.
You're there. You can't get rid of yourself.
That's right. So Lisa, your website is lisamariejinks.com, correct? That's where people can find you for information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can find my contact information there. They can order my book. You can order it directly from me. You can order it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any indie book seller as well.
Perfect. Well, we want to thank you for sharing a little time with us here on With Insights and Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe. We hope to have
fun.
You back in the future. Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lisa.
Hopefully we didn't take too far off track.
No, it was really fun. I'm grateful to have the time with you guys.
This is great. Right. I'm glad they canceled school today so I could be
here. There you
go. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll see you up north sometime.
Okay. Where are you exactly?
We're in Columbus. Columbus,
okay.
Ohio.
Okay.
Ohio. Thank you, Lisa. You have
Thank
a wonderful
you.
Week. Thank you.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That was awesome.
Oh, God. Totally love her. You know, we interview different people and stuff sometimes, and you look at their information a little bit and check out their website and stuff, but you don't know. You know, sometimes you get somebody on and they're just like a complete, total kindred spirit. Just love everything about her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, gosh, were we in another life or something?
I know.
Did we go through some of the same things?
She's like one of our drum circle friends or something. Just totally.
Yeah, she was just, and she's kind of into a lot of the things we're into.
Yes.
You know, like energies attract. So I think that was pretty cool. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know we took her off topic a little bit, you know, from her book and her practice a little bit, but I think she wanted to go there a little bit. She wanted to talk about those things.
Yeah.
So we have a way of doing that, too.
Right. You kind of, we have a general plan, but sometimes we just, you leave room for spirit to guide you where you need to go.
Yeah. And I think spirit does that, and I think that's, someone needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. So it was nice to just be able to, you know, do a little different. But it was beautiful, you know, for her to share her thoughts. And I like how she changed her book, you know, to the name that it is now. I think she was calling it something feminist, something empowerment or something like that. And but I think men will actually read the book, too, because out of curiosity, you know, wake up beauty, you know.
Oh, right. I mean, because the general theme, I think, definitely applies to men in there. Is,
oh, yeah.
That is certainly not a book just for women. I mean, it's about everyone, about, you know, taking your power and find your path.
Yeah. And that's important. And, you know, we're all working on that. Because some days we're good, and some days we're like, whoa.
Yep.
Who stole the tires off my car? You know?
Yep.
Or wake up with flat tires, you know? I mean, that's not a car literally, but yourself. It's who let the air out of me, you know?
Yeah, we've all been there.
But what, Wednesday and Thursday is going to be good energetic days, so it's a good time to get stuff done.
Oh, wow. Sounds good. I might get a kiss or something.
Not for me, you won't.
It's not what you told me last night, okay?
Hey, I'm going to the State of the City address on Thursday night, so I hope I'm full of energy to attend that. I want to see who's what and who's where in the city, out of curiosity.
Nice.
I keep getting invites, but I haven't gone in, years, so I said, I'm going to go.
Yeah, I want to invite all our friends who listen to all our shows, and now we have some great shows coming up. I mean, tomorrow we have The Lion's Lair with Adriana Arts. She's going to share her thoughts about it, but I can't say what her show's about tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm...
So you're a guest on that show.
I will be on at the end of the show talk about a few events.
Yeah, so I look forward to seeing that. And then
it will be interesting.
And we have your show Friday.
Yep.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Matt Mouchot will be my guest this Friday.
And some of us will pronounce it Mouchot, but...
Mouchot, yeah, I'm not... I need to confirm that.
I think you think you're from Louisiana, right?
I'm from Ohio.
From Ohio? You always act like you're from Louisiana. You always pronounce... You're Matt Mouchot! No, it's funny. Then we have Mudso at Midnight with Todd Smith. He'll be sharing his insights on the world, and for 30 minutes we get to listen to his... You know, rants and raves of how he sees it. And then Sunday we have
Gary
Through the Looking Glass with Gary Heron, Cristobal Readings. So we're doing pretty good. That's at 6 p.m. on With Insights. So it's exciting times.
Then next Monday, cycle starts all over again.
That's right.
Yes.
And we have Monday we have Corey Brackett. She'll be on. She'll be talking about Sweet Remedies. Sweet Remedies is a radio show that she has, where she talks about GMOs, aspartame or aspartame. You know, she's the lady I was telling you about. I brought her back on so she can share her insights on that, because she became terribly ill from all these different chemicals that she was... didn't realize it. She didn't realize it. You know, she just thought she was doing the right thing by cutting sugars and stuff. She got very sick. So she'll be sharing her story with us. She was on 5 years ago with me. So now we got a 5-year loop, and we'll come back and see where she's at and how she's doing. So I'm really excited about that. So with that, I guess we had a good show.
Yeah.
Great guests. And then we'll continue my blueprint to success, you know, I'm set for say, on next show. With that,
sounds good.
We want to thank everybody. I want to say ho'oponopono. Much love.
Ho'oponopono.
And with that.
Ciao.